How's everybody doing? The pastors, they are out of town. They're in Charleston with the Newtons. So you get us tonight. Yeah, there's excitement in the room. I think we should take a moment right here. And I kind of sense that some people might need some joy tonight. You might need some peace. I don't know what's going on. You know, life isn't always easy, as you guys know. And so if you need that right now, while I'm praying, y'all just reach out and take that. Does that sound good? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you love us. You've got good things in store for us tonight. And I thank you that you promised us peace. You promised us joy. And so right now, we just reach out and take that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the Spirit living in us, he bears the fruits of joy and peace in our lives. And so tonight, we just live that out. Oh, it's not about any of us tonight, Lord. We thank you for your glory, oh, your power, your presence, your goodness in our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about parenting, and we're not talking about parenting tonight. And you might be okay with that, or you might be upset about that. But I kind of want to talk about where we ended off, and it's going to kind of segue what we're talking about tonight. We're not talking about parenting, but it's in the same vein. We talked about last week. I had three B's that I stole from my friend Judah Smith. Belong, believe, and behave. You guys remember this? And we talked a lot about belonging last week. Jesus, he's baptized and he hears the voice from heaven. It's God, believe it or not. And, God says, "This is my beloved son who I'm well pleased." And what is he saying right there? He's saying, "You belong to me." This is before Jesus has ever done anything. This is before he's gone to the cross. This is before he's raised from the dead. I mean, this is at the beginning of his ministry. And here's a fun fact. In the Jewish culture, it says that when a man comes of age, the coming of age is 30, all right, he receives his father's inheritance at 30. And this is what was happening in this moment. He was receiving the inheritance from his father. Isn't that pretty cool? Before he launched out to his ministry, before he had done anything, he receives the inheritance from his father, and then everything he does comes from that. And so we talked about that's belonging, and tonight we're going to talk about believing. Now, it's never good to tell people what to believe. You have the right to believe whatever you want, and you even have the right to believe nothing. I've met people like that. I don't get it, but if that's what you want to do, you can believe nothing. But tonight we're going to show you guys what we believe. And you can choose to believe it. You don't have to. But really, tonight is about encouragement. And I just want to encourage you guys about some things about what we believe. And you can choose to believe that or not. But when you believe, I believe that when you believe this, you will be encouraged and your life will be changed. It will be different. And I know at Good News Church, we have believers. That's what you guys do. You believe. That's your job. And so this should be easy tonight. But yes. We're really talking about faithfulness, right?
Absolutely. And I could just sit here and listen to you preach the rest of this thing if you want. You're a pretty cool dude. It's really cool to be up here with Harry. I've been sitting on the front row listening to Harry and Pastor Susie kind of co-preach the past couple of weeks. And sitting here receiving revelation from my mentee. I've been the mentor, he's been the mentor, mentee, whatever it is. That relationship that Harry and I have as youth pastor, student, whatever, and he's been dropping some knowledge on us jokers, right? He has been receiving some revelation. And whether he can claim that revelation as his own is yet to be determined. it probably came from a Judd revelation, we have determined. It came from one of the conversations at their houses. But we've been talking about this, belong, believe, behave. And what, I don't know if you realize this, but what you believe, has a tremendous effect on your life, doesn't it? What you believe, and not just what you believe in general, what you believe about, you know, politics or religion or whatever, but what you believe about God, what you believe about God. You see, even this whole aspect of belonging that they've been talking about goes back to what you believe about God. If you believe that God is a loving father, then you'll see yourself as a beloved child, right? But if you see God as some sort of dictator or a cosmic Santa Claus, that he loves you when you're good and he hates you when you're bad and you're on the nice or the naughty list or whatever that plays out, then you'll see yourself in this relationship where you're uncertain about how God views you, right? So it's very important what we believe about God. And we talk a lot here about that God is faithful, right? You've heard us say that God is faithful. Maybe you've said it yourself. Isn't he faithful? What does it mean for him to be faithful? He's true to his word. He comes through on our behalf. He does what he says he's going to do. What does it mean for a spouse to be faithful to another spouse? That you're going to uphold the vows that you have made to the other person, right? You're going to do what you said you're going to do. And we see that in the relationship that we have with God. God is faithful, isn't he? God is faithful. But I'm thinking about this. We have tended to twist it. Even in the Word of Faith or Charismatic Movement, we've tended to twist God's faithfulness to the fact that God's faithfulness is dependent upon our faith. As in, my faith moves God. My faith causes God to act on my behalf. My faith gets God to do what I want God to do for me. My faith pleases God, right? And we talk about this aspect of my faith. And we talk to you, man, you have to have faith. You have to have faith. Faith is the essence of belief. But I want to tell you this, that we've got it backwards. God's faithfulness isn't dependent on our faith. God's faithfulness isn't dependent on our faith. Matter of fact, our faith is dependent on God's faithfulness towards us, isn't it? And our faith is a response to God's faithfulness. God's proven himself faithful. He's proven that he's good to his word. If you just read the scriptures, and we'll read some scripture tonight, we'll talk about some stories in the New Testament, we'll talk about some stories in the Old Testament where God's proven his faithfulness, but his faithfulness isn't dependent upon you. Everybody, let's just breathe a sigh of relief about that, because that's good news. Because if it was dependent on you or me, there's not a lot of things we would be receiving. We'd be in a lot of trouble, wouldn't we? But God's faithfulness isn't dependent on our faith. It's not dependent upon our actions or our attitudes or our behavior. Matter of fact, our believing is going to affect our behavior. It's out of that believing that we'll begin to behave differently, but not the other way around. So what is God faithful to? If he's not faithful to our faith or us as people, what is he faithful to? Well, the main thing we see from Scripture is that God is faithful to his word. Everybody say that. God is faithful to his word. If you're taking notes or you're tweeting out in the Twitterverse, tweet that. God is faithful to his word. And isn't that good? Because his word is full of promises. And beyond that, promises are something that's going to happen in the future, right? Promises like, I promise you I'm going to give you $5 after we're done, if you do well, of course. That would be a promise that's going to take place in the future. But God's word isn't just full of promises. A promise that we see in the scripture is that Jesus is coming again, right? We can hope in that promise. We can believe that promise is true. But it's also full of facts, isn't it? The fact that healing is mine, the fact that provision is mine now, as a result of what Jesus has done. Those are facts. Those aren't just promises, because promises take place in the future. Facts are already done, right? So God's word is full of facts based upon his faithfulness. Facts that have come to pass because he's faithful. He's faithful to his word. Let's look at some scripture here. Jeremiah 1:12. You may have heard this phrase before. You may have heard it in a sermon before, and you're like, where is that? Here it is, Jeremiah 1:12. It says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. God is faithful to his word. What he said, you can be certain is true. You can be certain that he's going to back up and do what he said in his word. There are some things that I could be uncertain about, like whether God's going to respond to me acting in a certain way. Like if I do a nice deed for my neighbor, does that move God? And can I go to God based upon that and say, God, did you see what I did for my neighbor? I mowed his yard the other day. Aren't you going to reward me for that? And is that how we approach God, based upon our efforts? And the simple truth is, we don't approach God based on what we think we deserve, because the truth is, we don't want what we deserve, do we? Because apart from Christ, we're all deserving of hell, and we don't want that. But because of God's faithfulness to his word, he sent Jesus, and he watched over his word to perform it, and he continues to do so. All right, let's read some more scripture. Go back to Isaiah 55. Kind of laying a groundwork here for where we're going, that God's faithfulness isn't dependent upon my faith. No, on the contrary, our faith is the response to God's faithfulness. Isaiah 55:10, it says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That's good news tonight. God's word, he's faithful to his word, and what he said will not return to him empty. It's going to accomplish the thing for which it's sent. It's going to accomplish the thing that he sent it to accomplish. It's going to fulfill its purpose in our lives, right? The scripture says that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that's a fact. All our needs have been met through Christ. And we can trust that that word that God has spoken through Paul to the church at Philippi will not return to him empty. That it's going to produce something. And what will it produce in our lives? It's going to produce provision. It's the same way we see those facts about healing, that sickness was laid upon Jesus. That our sickness, our pain was laid upon Jesus. That's a done deal. It's a finished fact. And he did that because he's faithful. He's faithful to his word. Amen. And we can trust in that. We can rely on that, that that's a finished fact. And it's accomplishing what it was sent for. It was sent for our healing. It was sent for us to recognize that healing is ours. Healing belongs to us. Okay. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is the kicker right here, okay? If you weren't convinced that God is faithful to his word, let's paint this picture for you here, if I can find it. Put it up there, 2 Timothy 2:13, if you don't mind, in the New King James. There we go. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Just take that in for a second. If we are faithless, that means if we mess up, if we don't hold true to our promise to God, and here's what we do when we're in a bind. Don't we make promises to God? And we think he responds to that. Hey, God, if you get me out of this jam, if you provide for me in this, then I'll, you know, do this. Or I'll, God, if you help me win the lottery, I promise I'll tithe off of it. You know, it's ridiculous, these promises we make to God that we can never, you know, in and of ourselves uphold, right? But the beauty of this statement is that even if we're faithless, he remains faithful, because he isn't faithful to you. I'll mess up your religious mind a little bit. He's not faithful to you. He's faithful to his word. It says he cannot deny himself. The beauty of the covenant that you and I have with God is that this covenant wasn't made between you and I. It was made between God and Jesus. Jesus is the one who signed in his blood, signed, sealed, and delivered. And guess what? The promises are yours. The facts are yours. The benefits belong to you. But the covenant isn't between you and me, because we'd have to uphold our end of the bargain, wouldn't we? But even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. There should be a weight, like a collective weight lifted off our shoulders tonight. This religious ideology that we must remain faithful to every promise we make, everything that we say we're going to do, Because we, in and of ourselves, we can't uphold any of that. But the good news is that he's faithful to his word. He can't deny himself. What he said, he will accomplish.
Right, and the ultimate act of his faithfulness is sending Jesus, right? I mean, he promises it over and over throughout the Old Testament, and then bam, Jesus shows up. God was faithful to his word, and it's funny, Jesus is the word. So, but God was faithful to his word, and Jesus dies. It says in Romans 5, it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What does that tell you? That while we were in sin, while we were out in the world doing whatever we felt like doing, that Christ or that God was faithful to his word, faithful to send Jesus. That's good news today. And so everything in the Old Testament points forward to Jesus, all right? And everything after that points back to Jesus. And so sometimes it's easy to think, God didn't do this for me, or this happened, and God wasn't faithful. Where were you, God? But I would just say, every time that doubt comes up in my mind, the thing that I do is I look at Jesus, and my goodness, if he sent Jesus and was faithful about Jesus, man, he's faithful about everything, as far as with his word and his promises. One thing that's interesting is that God is faithful to confirm his word. It says in Mark 16, verse 20, you can put that up there if you want, but it says that the believers went out, all right, and they preached the gospel, they preached the word, and it says that God was working with them, and he confirmed the word with accompanying signs. There it is. Confirmed the word through accompanying signs. And so often we get into needs-based living, needs-based Christianity, right? This is the American church. I got to have this, or I need that. And so often our faith is tied to needs, right? It's like, I need to pay this bill, and so I throw my faith out there because I need this bill, and I what I'm saying? And we expect somehow that's what God has called us to do, that's the kind of father he is. I mean, you laid it out so clearly. It's like, he already knows what you need. So why are you out there throwing out your faith like, God, I need this and I need that? And I mean, it's very clear in Matthew 6 that when we seek the kingdom, all right, all these other things will be added to us. But we've gotten off there. We all have. But God is faithful to confirm his word with accompanying signs. And I want to say this. In the natural, all right, it may not look like that God has confirmed his word. All right, I can lay hands on somebody and something in their body might not have changed. I don't know if anybody's been there. You've prayed for somebody and something hasn't changed. And it'd be very easy to say, well, it must not be God's will for them to be healed. Or that I have some sin in me and, God can't be with me when I'm sinning, and so he wasn't there. You know what I mean? This is what we've done. And so we look out so much in the natural and we think, God must not be faithful because of what I've been going through or whatever. But the truth is, all right, the truth is that in the spirit realm, God has already provided everything. All right, he's provided peace and joy like we're just talking about. He's provided provision. We talk about that so much. But my goodness, the thing you really need is peace. Oh, man, if you could get away from the provision, you could just get latched on to peace and the provision would come. Oh, that's good. But what the deal is that what we do with our faith is we believe that the things in the spirit realm are true and that God provided when he sent Jesus, and that he sent Jesus and Jesus became poor so I can become rich. And so what I do in the natural is I live out patiently, live out in patience, and I'm waiting to see the confirmation of the word, to see it confirmed in my life. All right, you get that? It says in Hebrews somewhere, somebody probably knows, it's by faith and patience that we inherit the promises. And I'll just be honest, there are times in my life where things haven't happened, we've all been sick before, right? And you may have been sick and, we believe God for healing and we stand on the word. And I know, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And if I was healed, then I am healed. I mean, you guys have heard this up before, right? And I'm going to let you know that I've been sick before and I've been saying that stuff and then I wasn't healed immediately. Has anybody else been there? Or is that just me? I might just be honest with you guys, all right? Because sometimes we come to church and it's like, you know, we make it out to be something that it ain't, all right? It's not a magic spell. It's not, you know, God isn't some little genie up there granting your wishes, you know? But the truth is that in Christ, we are healed, right? And what it takes on my part is patience. It's patience. And if I really believe that I was healed, I would start acting like I was healed. Though I may not feel healed, I'm acting healed, and I'm waiting for the confirmation of it. And then when it shows up, I give all the glory to God. You see that? I mean, the whole kingdom works that way. Anything that we need, I mean, it all works that way. Because some days it doesn't feel like I'm saved. You know what I mean? Some days I do stuff. And I'm like, you know, God, what's the deal? But he's faithful to the promise that we're saved. Even that, he's faithful in that. That you're his son and he loves you. You're his daughter and he loves you. I don't know where I'm going there, but you can soak that up. Soak it up. But he's faithful to confirm his word. And you can get so earth-minded that you forget about the king. You get so earth-minded that you forget about that you're a citizen of heaven. All right? And we live in a different system. And these things that are popping up, you know, they're not mine. I'm not taking ownership of this debt. I'm not taking ownership of this sickness. I'm not a sick person trying to get healed. I'm a healed person fighting off sickness. You see that? Because sickness will try to attack you. Lack will try to attack you. And you got to stand firm. No, I'm healed. No, I'm provided for. No, I have peace. No, I have joy. No, I have love. Those days where you don't feel love, no, I am loved. And in fact, God's love has been shed abroad within me. And you know, the truth is we are becoming love. That's craziness. If we're made in his image and he is love, that means that I am love too. And oh man, there's a lot there. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's talk about Abraham for a second, man.
Okay.
In Romans 4, here's what we see about Abraham. That he believed God. And it was credited to him as righteousness, right? It says, listen to this. Romans chapter 4, verse 2, it says, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about. And isn't that something that we do? We tend to boast in our good deeds. Like, look at me. Look what I did for so-and-so. Or we even, you know, brag about ourselves on Facebook. You know, I bless somebody today. I feel pretty good about myself, you know. I don't see anybody like posting status updates about their sin. Guess what? Look at my bad works today,
please,
everybody.
Please don't do that.
No, we don't encourage that.
Unless you're led.
It says, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. Think about that. We're talking about believing tonight. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed. He didn't work his way into having a kid, right? Well, he did. it wasn't the promised one, right? I mean, we could talk about that for a second, actually. I mean, he tried to short circuit the miracle of God. I mean, God's promise was there, right? Talk about patience. Dude was 100 years old, man. I mean, he waited for a while, but the promise was there. You're going to have a son, and you're going to be the father of many nations. They changed his name. You're no longer Abram. You're Abraham. I'm the father of many nations, but I don't even have a kid. And he tried to take matters into his own hands, didn't he? He said, well, you know, Sarah's got this, you know, maiden over here, and she's looking pretty fly for a white girl, and maybe we can make something happen there. And he did, but it wasn't the promise, because he wasn't patient. He tried to take matters in his own hands. And don't we do that? I remember when We were down to one vehicle, and I've told this story countless times, but I'll make it brief for you. I had given my truck away, and I was just believing God for a vehicle, and so we had some money come in, like $3,000, you know, from something, and it was cool. You're like, yes, $3,000, I can go buy a vehicle, because I'd been walking, riding the girl's bike. You know the story. Wrecking the girl's bike, skinning up my elbow, and people laughing at me. It was great. And so through that whole process, believing God, and I'm like, oh, let's hurry up this process here, man. And I thought I was believing God. I thought I believed that it was already taken place, but really I was in hope, really. I wasn't in faith, I was in hope. I was hoping that God would provide out there, you know, in the future. I wasn't believing that God had already made provision for my need at this present moment because of the fact that God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so we had some money come in, and I thought, okay, well, this is great. And it wasn't even, I mean, we are married, and it was like it was a check for Kristen, and I thought, this is my money. And in all actuality, it is, but I should have consulted with her, like, what do we need to do with this money? And I thought, well, this is God's provision. We've been waiting, we've been praying, we've been believing, we've been fasting. Well, maybe you were fasting. Sounds good to say that, but I never fast. I like food too much. Don't judge me. Got to have those chicken wings, everybody. So I thought, hey, this is the deal. This is the promise. This is the promise. And surely Abraham was like, okay, this is how it's going to happen. I'm just going to do this. And this is how it's going to happen, that we're going to have a son this way. You know, it's legitimately my son. It wasn't their son. It wasn't Abraham and Sarah's son. And so I said, well, let's get something. And I started looking in Craigslist, and I was on my way to see a vehicle when Kristen called me. And she said, this isn't it. This isn't it. And she was basically saying, don't spend my money. No, she was like, this isn't it. God's got better for us. God's got more. God's got more for us. If we will just be patient, if we'll just wait, if we'll just, and then she began to say, hey, let's make room for a miracle. Is this really miraculous? God giving us $3,000 for like a beater? You know what I'm saying? You know what kind of car that is. You've, like, the first car I ever had.
It's my car.
But no, God had better, and he provided for us a 3-year-old Ford Explorer. Completely paid for. It was like a $23,000 vehicle. God's faithful.
And if you had jumped in there and bought that other car,
never would have got it. No, because what happened, they emailed us and said, hey, do you want this vehicle? And we would have, you know, they wouldn't have even been impressed to give it to us because we would have already had our Ishmael.
You know, it's interesting. The scripture says that Isaac and Ishmael are just alike. And the deal is, though, is that Abraham had to work for Ishmael. I'm not saying he didn't have to work for Isaac. But I'm saying that Isaac was the deal man. He was the promise. You know, he was the promise. And sometimes it may even look like, all right, it may even look like, yeah, this is definitely God. But if it doesn't feel right in here, please don't go through with it. Please don't do that. God is faithful. He is faithful to his word. He's faithful to confirm his word. And it's very interesting what he was saying earlier about how, you know, God isn't faithful to you. But what's amazing is, it's like God is, he's faithful to Jesus, and Jesus died for you. And so when we reach out and we take on Jesus, all right, and we're in Christ, I mean, God's going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you. That's just how he is. And you're his child. You're his child, and he's your father. And this revelation has to become so much in our minds. It's got to overtake us, all right? It's got to overtake us. Because there are a lot of Christians out there walking around without a father. Or they think they don't have a father, but they do. I mean, we meet these people all the time. And it's sad. It really is sad to have something and think you don't have it and you're trying to get it, but you already got it. I mean, that's sad. And so I encourage you tonight to realize, you know, your father and what he's done for you, man, and how faithful he is to his word. And so that's why it's imperative that we know the word. We're word people here at Good News Church because we know what the word does, and we know that God's faithful to his word. So that's why it's such a big deal. We're not just making stuff up. It's got to come from the word. You know, you can't you can't just say something and not be able to back it up by the word. I mean, I've done it before, but you're not supposed to. It's not right. Because God's faithful to his word. He's not necessarily faithful to your word. He's faithful to his word. But I want to encourage you tonight. Maybe there's something that you've been dealing with, something that you've been going through. And it's time tonight to let go of all the worry and all the angst about it. It's time to let the Father step in and let him, oh, his peace and his goodness overflow in that area. Righteousness produces peace. His love produces peace. Oh, and you don't have to muster up the faith. You don't have to muster up the patience. No, no, no. It comes from his love on the inside of you. Yes, faith works by love, and love is patient. Love is kind. We know all those things. And so when we recognize his love for us, everything flows out of that. Everything flows out of that. That's here for somebody. His love flows out of that. His love flows out. You got anything? I think we need. You want to show this?
Yeah, well, let's set this up, because here's the deal about God's faithfulness and God's faithfulness to his word. He's the ultimate expression of God's faithfulness is Jesus, isn't he? The ultimate expression of God's faithfulness is that he sent his beloved son to die on a cruel cross for you and I, right? He paid the very highest price so that we could be bought back and redeemed. Now, I said this, that God's covenant is between him and Jesus, but we are the beneficiaries of this covenant. And why is God faithful to his word? Why is God so adamant about being faithful to his word? Because he knows a sinful people can't uphold their word. But he can uphold his word by his righteous right hand. And he made the covenant with himself so that we could be beneficiaries of it and get in on it through Jesus. And as we identify with Jesus, and he did all that because we are his prize. God is faithful because of his great love for us. He's faithful because he loves us. He's not faithful to our actions or to our works. He's faithful because of his grace. And our faith, what we believe, what we receive, is simply a response to his faithfulness towards us as expressed in Jesus. We want to show you this clip based out of the Old Testament story of Hosea and Gomer.
Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. Then the Lord said to me, go again, Hosea. What? Go find her. Love this woman who's loved by a lover and is right now committing adultery. Go find her, Hosea. Go find her. Look what's after the comma. Just like the love of the Lord for Israel. I love her. Now, where it says Israel, it means Israel, but it also prophetically speaks of God's love for the whole world. Go find her again. This is like my love for the children of Israel who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. In other words, they like the things that society, stuff, possessions that the world offers. They're trying to find love and meaning and purpose in that. Go find her. Boy, that must have been a heart-wrenching process. As you go looking for your wife, who was a former prostitute, who's now back into prostitution, where do you go looking for her, friends? How messy is that search? How painful is that pursuit? As he walks the streets, everyone says you don't go to those neighborhoods. Men of God should never be seen in those places and buildings. But here's Hosea looking for who? His wife of all people. Going on in verse 2, he continues to write, so I bought her. I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver. And 1.5 homers of barley. Wait. She's your wife, Hosea. She's already yours. What was the scene like as Gomer's back in the sex slave industry? What are the chances? Does Gomer find her on some pedestal somewhere, chained and shackled, naked, being sold to the highest bidder? Hosea there sees his wife, the mother of their three children, and Hosea looks at her and says, "Excuse me, sir, that's my wife." He goes, "Sir, I don't care who you think she is. This is her price." But I... What's the price? And he pays for what is already his. The Bible says, I hope you understand, Hosea is a picture of God, and no offense, you and I are a picture of Gomer. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Mankind is the unique possession of the Creator God. And yet, 2,000 years ago, he paid a dear price. He paid for what he already possessed. And he sent his son, who spilled his blood, to purchase back what he already owned. How much? Hosea gets the money. What was that exchange like when Hosea looked in the eyes of his wife? No doubt she hung her head in embarrassment. "He's found me. I've abandoned him. I've abandoned our three kids. And yet he insists on buying me. Buying me. These other men sought to buy her, to use her. Hosea seeks to buy her, to heal her." It says in verse 4, "For the children of Israel shall abide." Now this is where Hosea shifts in and he starts speaking prophetically. This is really no longer about him and Gomer. It's about something that is to come. It's about something bigger. Verse 5. Afterward, there's going to come a season. He didn't know it would be 750 years, but it would. There would be no king. It would be difficult. It would be unclear. It would be challenging. "But then the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king." And then notice what it says. "They shall fear the Lord." Now, Israel and Judah knew what it was to fear the Lord. And by fear, I mean terror. Under the old system of relating to God, there was terror. Terror. Because God, they were unable to keep his commands, the Ten Commandments, and there was judgment and there was wrath. "But there will come a day," he prophesies. "There will come a Messiah, and he will finally satisfy and appease the wrath of God. And the fear of the Lord in those days will be in awe of his goodness in the latter days." The fear of the people will not be of terror. It will be in awe of his graciousness towards humanity. Hosea just bought Gomer, even though she was already his. This is the picture of the gospel. Salvation completes the work in spite of her sins, in spite of her doings, in spite of running away. And then he stands and says, "And there will come a day, a King David will rise. And in those days, they will fear his goodness." These are the days that we live in. Our Hosea has come. Salvation has come. And he found you. And he found me. And he had to walk to the most despicable places. And he had to communicate and be around sinful, broken humanity. Don't you see? As Hosea searched for his wife, so Jesus came searching for the salvation of humanity. And by the way, when God found you, you were not so neat and nice and put together. You were in chains, and you were naked, and you were sinful, and so was I. And our gracious God said, "How much? How much?
the blood of your Son. For then and only then can they, humanity, avert the wrath and justice that is rightfully on their heads. Very well. Very well. I'll send my Son.
You see that, though? Hosea was faithful to Gomer, even when she wasn't faithful to him. And Hosea went and bought what was already his. That's what God has done for us. That's what he did through Jesus. He did for us. So right now, I just invite you to stand as we close out here. This good news isn't just for you and I, folks. It's for everyone that we meet. For everyone that we encounter, the good news of the gospel. And so, right now, let's just meditate and think about how faithful God has been to his word. Let's look at that story of Jesus. Oh, and he sent Jesus and he was faithful to us even when we were sinners. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, we are in awe of your goodness tonight. We are in awe of your faithfulness, Lord. Oh, you loved us while we were still sinners. You made a way for us while we were still sinners. And tonight, we thank you for that. Oh, we rest in that. Oh, we take comfort in that. We have peace in that tonight. Lord, we just thank you, Father, from going forth from this place. Lord, your goodness didn't just end with Jesus, Father. Oh, but you want us to walk in your goodness every day of our life. Every day. Oh, so Lord, we just thank you for that peace and that joy tonight. Oh, we just rest in your goodness tonight. Rest in your righteousness tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for the people of Good News Church, for the people that are here and the people that aren't. Lord, that as we go, we take this message with us. This message of reconciliation with us. Oh, that you reconciled the world to yourself through your Son, Jesus. We thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for tonight. Y'all have a blessed evening and a blessed week. Y'all are dismissed.